Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. Every beat and lyric will move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL.
Hey, it's Kitty. And today I am talking to Scott Bartlett. He is best known as the lead guitarist for Saving Abel, but he has been creating music under his own brand for years and years. Welcome in, Scott.
Thank you for joining me today.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So before we dive in, I'd love to ask, what are some things about you that some of your fans or some listeners may not know about you?
So what's funny about me is that a lot of my fan base at this point, I know personally, just through social media and just life in general. I'm a pretty accessible guy. So people kind of know the off the beaten path stuff about me. I don't keep it secret, but I am an open book. Like I'm a nerd. I'm not ashamed of it. I've got a few college degrees. I did theater. I was also a jock. I was the Maryland State bench press champion. I remember my junior year, we won state in Maryland, and the seniors affectionately came up with a nickname for me, which was Soprano Meat.
Oh, God.
Because I played Jesus and Jesus Christ Superstar and then went on to be the Maryland State bench press champion. It's like this odd dichotomy of So I went to an all guys sort of like exclusive prep school called Gilman in Baltimore. And they had this thing called the common room, which is where everybody would sort of gather before classes started. And it was very stereotypical. I guess the world has changed now. This would have been like between 92 and 96. It was sectioned off. Like one side was kind of the nerds and one side was the jocks. And I'm proud to say that I was one of the few that could just bounce between both sides sort of unequivocally. And that's helped shape the fabric of who I am. And I'm proud of it.
Yeah, I kind of put you as being a liaison in between a lot of different crowds and a lot of different personalities with that.
Well, what's super groovy about it is that it turns out both the jocks and like the theater nerd D&D types could get down with rock and roll guitar.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's the one thing that really does unite everybody is music. So that's fantastic. And I love Jesus Christ Superstar. That's super fun. That's so fun.
I had to cut weight. I was about 240, 250 going into football season to do the Gethsemane scene on the cross at the end. I had to weigh 200 pounds or else the cross wouldn't hold me. So
that's a little stressful.
It started my lifelong weight battle, honestly, of like yo-yoing up and down. And I'm just a bigger guy, so 200 wasn't that practical. I remember when we wrapped, we went out and ate, and I ate an ungodly amount of food. And like the next day I was like 218.
You're like, Well, I know you've been doing music for a while now. What are some of your influences? I know we talked a little bit about that, but can you talk about some more of your influences?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, anybody that listens to me play can tell that I'm a Southern rock guitar player, but that I like metal music also. And but I live in Memphis, Tennessee, which is a very soulful place. And that was by design. I moved there to go to college. I convinced my folks that it was a great business program, but I knew I wanted to study music. So anybody that hears me typically that dives in just says, you've got this soulful thing happening, but you're like tasty on your instrument. You know, my degree is in guitar. So I have learned the skill sets. You know, it's all up here and it's all right here, but I'm able to sort of channel my emotions into my playing. And that's something I'm very proud of. So I would say influence-wise, we all grew up listening to sort of like classic rock, like huge Zeppelin fans. Stones, Beatles, The Who. But then when we were at our most impressionable, like puberty era, was when the grunge movement started. So I remember Pearl Jam, and I remember Alice in Chains and Nirvana and Soundgarden and all those bands. And that's when we learned cover songs. We would learn some of those, you know. And then I started getting into like the Black Crowes, and something really happened to me after I went to, this is a cool story, I'll try to tell the abridged version. I went to Honduras with like a Peace Corps mission in 10th grade, and it was six of us, and we went and sort of helped build this church in a very third world part of Honduras, called Las Ruinas de Copan. And they warned us that the power would shut off. We were there for 6 weeks. The power would shut off every night at 10 p.m. and not come back on until 6 a.m. So I brought a battery-powered amplifier. I was really inspired by guitar, and it was called a pig nose. I still have it. It doesn't work, but I still have it. And it was run on 8 AA batteries. And all it had was a on-off switch button, and it was a pig snout. And you turned it, and it was a little 6-inch speaker. And I brought that, and I was a pretty badass little 10th grader. This is way pre-9/11. Hopefully I can say this, but I snuck hash into Honduras as a sophomore in high school. And I met this dude named Carlos, who was playing in the square at like 10 p.m., like one of the first nights I was there. And he didn't give me the time of day till he found out I had hash. And once we discovered we had a mutual liking for hash, we became fast buds. And I would bring my guitar, would sneak out of my host family's house. And there was such a language barrier there. Like, I came back essentially. We went to learn Spanish and to build this church. I came back pretty close to fluent. I placed out on my SATs and all those placement tests. But what we spoke through was music. He loved Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And we would play like 6 hours in the town square every night. So I left for that trip, the lead singer in my high school band, which was called Great Scott, because there were four of us and three of us were named Scott. And when I came back, I remember our drummer going, "Man, have you been taking like guitar pills or something?" And like within a week, I was the lead guitar player. And we fired Teddy, who was the only non-Scott. And but I remember when I came back, my dexterity was, you know, if you're playing 6 hours a night, basically in a live setting, I mean, I was just jamming. And I came back and I had these skills that I hadn't had before. And right around then, I discovered the Allman Brothers Band. And that changed my life. I got Duane Allman tattooed on my arm right there. Once I discovered them and this whole improv, you know, you don't have to do things the same way twice. I really applied it to every aspect of my life. I mean, I love to cook. That's another thing some people don't know about me, but I'm pretty public about it. I never make it the same way twice. I just, you know, I'm drinking Jack Daniels. I don't want to measure things. I just throw stuff in a pan, you know, whatever. And but that whole, you know, if you have the knowledge and the know-how of what tastes good, like you can have these conceptual ideas that can alter things like food. Music is the same way. I can take you on a different journey with a guitar solo depending on what I'm feeling, you know.
Absolutely.
But the song comes first. It's not, that's what we learn in Memphis as musicians. It's not about you. Once it's about you, you're in it for the wrong reasons. Music is bigger than you.
It is. That's my fascination with all of it, because it is something that connects us all, no matter what language you speak or what belief you have, that everyone speaks that language. Whereas
Right? Look at me and Carlos.
right? You spoke music and hash.
Yeah.
I love too that you cook, not necessarily with a recipe. My kids, well, my kids are grown, but they always get like, "How long do you cook it for?" "I don't know, till it's done." Like, "How much do you
Right.
put in?" "I don't know, till it tastes right." Like,
Yeah, try it.
I really love that. Were you always called to be a musician, or was there something specific that happened for you that was like, "Okay, this is what I'm gonna do"?
That story I just told you about Honduras was in some way pivotal for me. Because I came back, the whole game was changed for me. Because it was just so, like, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you don't have English to fall back on. Nobody in Honduras, but we were the six Americans that didn't, it was nothing but a language barrier. So, like, if we were hungry, we had to be like, you know, like we didn't, and that whole music thing tying the room together, just it changed the whole game. Now, prior to that, I had been, you know, we had this thing like instead of like a study hall or like a recess in, I think it was fourth or fifth grade, we could either do like riff, which was reading is fun, which was like a 30 minute, like you just had to read something.
Right.
Or Glee Club. And I was like, well, I don't want to read, so I'll do the Glee Club. So
it just kind of built on experience after experience.
Yeah, well, and that started my fascination with singing. A lot of people don't really know I sing because I'm a lead guitar guy, but I do love to sing. And I was at Glee Club all 4 years of high school. I was actually in a barbershop quartet that sang in, we sang in Czechoslovakia, actually. We were called the Traveling Men, and we had to wear our white polo shirts with any vest. Mine was the inner lining of a winter coat, zipped in and out, and bow ties.
I was going to ask about the bow tie.
Yeah, and we would do like vaudeville tie, like just like weird, like, you know, goodbye, my Coney Island baby, farewell, my own. And it's just the fascination of that. Farewell, my own true love, my honey. I'm going to say, and there's just always something going on, you know? But when it was all together, it was something so special.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I want to see now a picture of you in that bow tie.
I'm happy to say that cell phones did not exist back then, and I don't think that exists.
I bet you are. Oh, gosh, that's fun. Outside of doing the podcast, I do a lot of healing and helping people with grief and with just really traveling down. I always call it the shit storm of life that we have. And I did read a quote from you saying that you're a singer and songwriter that writes from your experiences. And that speaks always to my heart, because I think the more people speak from their experiences, it gives more people safe spaces to kind of tell their story. Is there a specific reason why you choose to write from your experiences?
I guess in some way, I've always been pretty good at expressing myself. And I'm not afraid to put myself in a song. I'm not afraid of the vulnerability of that. So sometimes my songwriting can be quite literal, but sometimes it's very broad. Like one of my favorite lyricists is Brent from Shinedown. And I love his ability to sort of encapsulate all this stuff about mental health without making it seem like that's what it's about. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's a fascinating songwriter to me. And I love those guys. So kudos to Shinedown. We used to co-headline with them. So I've just been watching their trajectory go and go. And I couldn't be happier for four better gentlemen, honestly. Yeah. But yeah, like I do draw from experience. And, you know, sometimes songwriting is so weird, and you and I touched on this. There's no right or wrong way to do it. Mm-hmm. Something really odd can inspire you. Look at Wes, Puddle of Mud, you know, she fucking hates me.
Yeah.
That song lyrically is not going to change the world.
Right.
But for 3.5 minutes, people can identify mm-hmm. with having an ex that fucking hates them.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, shit, I feel that. And then there's, you know, Papa Roach, Leave a Light On, which is like a deeply touching song. But Papa Roach, also, what was their claim to fame? Cut my life in.
That's right.
It's, we have these things, and like these fleeting moments of creativity need to be captured. Yeah. And I'm proud to say that I'm one of those people that has the skill set to be able to capture it. And that's why I like writing with other people, because they can take me on a journey that I wouldn't have gone on had it not been for their trials and tribulations in their life.
Yeah.
And that's why the creative process is just so fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's almost like all the different genres and the different musicians really pinpoint within everyone all of our human emotions. You know, we all experience all those different things, yet we don't like to talk about them that much, but that's why music is so important, because we can always connect through it.
Yep.
So I did listen to your new song, your new release, Pray For Me. And I wanted to give you a space to kind of tell your story behind it. I know that it is actually a meaningful song. Whenever I found out we were going to be chatting, I shared it with a group of people that I teach. And While they all believe very different things, but they all found solace within the song. And so, can you talk to me a little bit about that?
That song was written and recorded about 4 years ago. It was during the pandemic. And what's crazy is when you write a song and it's still relevant 4 years later, 15 years later, 20 years later, 100 years later, it was basically just for the hardworking American that wasn't able to go to work to provide for their family. And I just, I don't like to share my politics with my music and my career. It's just not my thing. And so I don't care about your political beliefs or anything, whatever. I know that it was a very sad time and a volatile time for the US because the economy went, I still don't know that it's recovered from it because nobody could work. And there was all these ways we're all trying to fight through it together, but we all just want to work and provide for our family. And for those people, it was just this song, like let's make it in the first person, but let's really pray for them because we're stronger together than divided, and if we take a few minutes out of our day to really think about others, maybe we can get something done. And the lyrics just wrote themselves. My buddy CJ and I wrote that song, and we recorded it with Toby Wright, who recorded most famously with like Alice in Chains, and I mean he's a beast of a producer. And we recorded it, and after I heard it, I was just thinking to myself, I was going to tour that with my friend CJ and the Mad Souls, and I was like, let's work it up acoustically. And it sounded so good, like we changed the guitar part to like a whistle, and then I ended up bringing in a four-piece, not like a symphony, just a string section, and I wrote all the string parts. And I had Jason Charbonneau from the Moody Blues play the cello part, which was pretty cool. I got to hang out with him. And lyrically, we revisited kind of redoing the lyrics, but we were just like, this is still so relevant.
It is.
Like we don't have to change a thing, because right now life is still scary for a whole lot of people. There's like a whole issue of inflation. And again, I know it's a political year, so I'm not going to talk about my politics. But it's just a scary time. And I don't know that we ever recovered from my perspective when it was written 4 years ago. So why not re-release it? It's a great acoustic version of the song. I'm actually performing in Ardmore tonight with my buddy Rick Monroe and Alan Beeler. And we're playing that song. It's like third on the set list. So.
Nice, that's exciting. It is relevant because the whole COVID thing did this whole segregation of everybody being separated from everybody
Oh,
too.
yeah.
So yeah, it wasn't even the whole point of like people are struggling financially, but then usually if you're struggling financially, you can lean back on other people. And here we are completely separated. We are struggling financially. We can't lean back on people. You can't do anything. And people are struggling, but there's still that separation there. There really is, and it's just gonna, continue unless we do our work that we're supposed to do. So.
Well, and it makes people so, you were talking about mental health. It really puts people in a bad spot when they just feel hopeless and
Yes.
helpless. So there's a very poignant line in that song that I'm proud of, where it just says, and there's no harmonies, it's just me. Maybe the best is yet to come.
Yeah.
So that meaning, keep your chin up.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, it's impactful for those things. And I have to tell you, last night when we were talking that, well, yesterday I was like, I don't know if I need to be doing this and helping people. Like, how am I supposed to make it work? And then I talked to a business coach and he was like, welcome to being an artist. And then I talked to you and I was like, okay, universe, I hear you. Okay, I hear you. So we are so quick to give up and we're so quick to not look at how far we've come, right? We're so quick to not see that for ourselves. So
Well said.
what kind of upcoming things do you have coming up for you?
So, if you want to follow me, the best platform would probably be Facebook just because of my age. But I am on all the things, the Facebook, the Instagram, the TikTok, the Snapchat, just Scott Bartlett. I've got while Saving Abel is handling some legal matters, I'm just focusing my efforts on myself. So I'm writing with a lot of people. I have actually started a management company called Lifted Management, and we've got about five, six acts that I've talked to all personally. I'm doing a collab with one of those guys that I can't talk about yet, but the song is written and I think it's going to be badass. It's kind of a country rock and roll vibe.
Nice.
So Southern rock, basically.
Yeah.
I have still my clothing line. You can find merchandise. Just go to my Facebook and you can just DM me because that's how it's so much easier than fulfillment for now. And I do a lot of sales that way. And I spend hours on there a day, like
Okay.
hours. Just ask my girlfriend. I'm on there hours a day, replying and just trying to stay in touch with my fan base. But I mean, as far as like me, Scott Bartlett, and what I've got going on, I'm always going to be busy. So it's the same thing. I've pivoted, and I'm not just an artist now. I'm helping manage younger talent so they can basically not make the same mistakes I did. I'm booking bands. I mean, clothing line, cooking, and rocking and a rolling. That's what's next for me.
Sounds great. Sounds great. I love that. I say our age. I got a couple of years on you, but I love to hear artists that have been around for a while that are like, yeah, I'm gonna start something that way the people don't make the same mistakes I did. Because I've heard that several times, and I think that's the best learning tool, really, is to go from someone who does know more of the business and has experience on you, if people will listen.
But when I think back, like with Abel, which is where the cornerstone of my success sort of came from, we didn't really have social media back then. We had MySpace, you know,
Right.
but it's become such a tool. And I've watched those sort of platforms grow while gaining fame and popularity with Saving Abel. And it's funny, you know, you sign a major record label deal. I signed my deal where the Beatles signed their deal.
Wow.
Capitol Records building, same table. Like, I mean, and when that kind of thing happens, you just think, okay, I made it. That's it. That's not it. That's when the work begins. And if I could go back and do it again, I probably wouldn't change a damn thing because I'm pretty happy with who I've become as a human being.
Yeah.
But my life could have gone in a different way where I was wildly more successful.
Right.
And I made the decisions that I made, and I'm sticking with them. And I would like to educate and coach people that have the same dreams and aspirations that I did, and hopefully they can be wildly more successful than I ever was.
Yeah, what a great way to share. So I find value in connecting with others and sharing our perspectives. And you've already shared a lot on mental health, but if someone was to come to you or they're struggling deeply and they need an inspiring word of wisdom or words of wisdom, what could you share that might help them?
Pray for me. Look, that line, maybe the best is yet to come. You're not going to know if you give up. That's it.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to share with everybody?
No, I think you got a lot
No,
of
that's
good,
okay.
interesting stuff out of here. It's weird. It's like, well, watching myself while doing this, I'm kind of like, I don't sound that stupid. All right. I actually have some informative things to
No,
say.
you do. And I am just that person that's fascinated with everybody's story. So I appreciate you digging a little bit and sharing that with me. I'm not the regular. So tell me how the band started. I just love human connection and love to hear stories. So I appreciate you sharing it so much.
Yeah, well, you are great at what you do.
Thank you.
I mean, if you liked what you saw, just go to my socials and follow the journey. I've got a lot going on. I have a podcast too, called Grind Lifestyle,
Okay.
and you can follow that. And that's literally just about basically nobody cares, work harder.
Okay.
Like the whole sort of pray for me, like maybe the best is yet to come. That's a very important lesson to learn. It doesn't mean things are going to be handed to you.
No.
It means get out of bed 5 minutes early. Get going, get moving.
Get your
Life
ass
isn't
up.
easy. You know, it's hard
Get
for
your
all of
ass up.
us.
It is. Get your ass up. Well, perfect. I'll get some of those links and things like that and share too whenever I release the podcast, just so people can easily do that as well. Thank you so much. It was so good to meet you and talk to you and get to know you for the little moments that we have here. So I appreciate you so much.
Likewise. Thanks for listening.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All
Bye-bye.
right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Authentic Life with KL, where we explore the powerful intersection of healing and music. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give a follow and share with your friends. You can find more information about The Authentic Life with KL and Kitty Lynn at kittylynne.com, kittylynne.com. Thanks so much for listening.